It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Buffington. The Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2. Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Swan hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Veritek and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts, safe.
And what can I say? Just dip my heart and call the Yankees my daddy.
Welcome to Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports, and the season is over. And it needs to be noted, Matt Sirois took the Yankees in five. I picked the Yankees in six.
I said Yankees in seven.
And I thought you were going to be right.
Yeah, I did too until the fifth inning of, of game five.
Yeah, so what I think we should do today is, I mean, obviously, it's a massive disappointment and with huge implications moving forward. And, you know, you and Matt Sirois are as big a Yankee fans as I know. And if you didn't watch the game or didn't read about the game, the bottom line is that the Yankees, after winning game four, came out in game five, took a 5-0 lead, then blew that lead and lost the game and lost the series. And I, on our morning show on WTIC, I read the text progression and the text thread between you, me, and Matt Sirois, who produces this show and is often on it. And to go from, like, he's back on Judge's home run to, you know, saving pitching for a possible extended series to giving it away and all the
I was literally talking about, well, you know, if we get a good lead, Cole can come out and you'll be ready for game seven if he's needed to come in relief. And, you know,
Then it went from there to, you know, I mean, it just is something else.
Like, well, it's unreal how, I mean, everybody who watches sports knows sports changes in a second, but baseball is all about momentum swing, right? It's just, that's just how it works. And you could just see it. You could see it coming. You could see it coming.
So the turn here was, Matt talked about, you know, possibly, you know, saving Gerrit Cole. And then you chime in about a possible game seven relief. And then you say, you know, he's blanking back. Then
that was Judge.
Right.
Yeah.
And then there was the WTF.
Well, blanking back was his leaping catch into the wall.
Right.
And then the WTF was his easiest fly ball of the history of fly balls.
And you looked it up.
He didn't make an error all season.
That's insane.
All season, playing center field for the New York Yankees in all the pressure situations. That's including the postseason up until then.
Not one error.
Not one error. And he played right field a little bit, and he played one or two games in left, but the majority in center field. And Judge posted this year. This wasn't, you know, 100-game Judge, broken toe Judge.
Oh, he played.
He played all the time.
Yeah.
Like, literally all the time. So, it's one of those things where, you know, you look back through the history of baseball, and it's just what happens. You know, unfortunately, for the Yankees, they've been part of two of the biggest collapses. One was, obviously, against the Red Sox in a whole series situation, and then this one was in a game situation, an inning situation, a play situation, where, you know, you can literally pin it down to that, where the game just collapsed for them. It's insane. It really is.
I go back to 04, because when Millar said, don't let us win one, I really felt like that was happening here.
Yeah.
I really did. And I'm not saying it to rub salt on the wound. Like, last night, I was like, they're up 5-0.
Yeah.
We're going back to L.A.
Yeah. I'll tell you, I give Dave Roberts a lot of credit for the for saving pitching from Game Four.
But that could have bit him in the ass.
But also for going with his good pitching in this in Game Five when it was clearly they were down by 5 runs and he's bringing Blake Treinen in to hold it, right? So you got to give credit where credit is due. But you go back to the fifth inning and you think to yourself, obviously everybody knows what happened, but you got to look at the situations, right? You have to look at, you know, Mookie Betts is up, right? You're talking about one of the biggest ballers in baseball, one of the biggest ballers in all of sports, right? And you know that when that ball is hit, that he is going to run 110% through that bag, right? And then everything after that, that was going to be a hard play regardless if Cole got off the mound fast.
Right.
Right? The way that ball was hit. And it's for the systematic breakdown of Rizzo not charging the ball. The ball had a little bit of spin on it. Cole not breaking right away to the bag. Everything automatically, as soon as in a second. It wasn't like he had any time at all. There was zero time on that play to think about that. And that flips the script. It just flips the whole script.
So that play was more important than the judge drop?
Well, the judge drop doesn't cost you a run, right?
Right.
It's just it's a psychological thing, and then the Volpe thing right after that. It's like it's losing focus is what it is. It's losing focus of the situation.
You think it was complacency?
Based on everything that's led up to that. It's not leaving the less play behind. It's getting up there in the innings. It's showing the next round through the order. It's everything leading up to that. And then when you make that error, and then you make that error, and then it's the drag of until you played the sport, no matter at what level, you see it. You see it. You see it at Little League. You see it at Babe Ruth. You see it at high school. You see it at college, and you see it in the majors. That shit happens all the time. It just happens. Unfortunately, it happened on the biggest stage at the biggest moment for the New York Yankees.
He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. This is episode 174 of Fan Base, the deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. A couple of things to reflect on before I get to the managers. Do you think the Yankees were the best team in baseball? Do you think they should have won the World Series?
Well, let's put it this way. The World Series was lost in Game 1 when Freddie Freeman hit the walk-off and Boone blew his call
with
there.
Nestor Cortez.
Exactly. Yeah. In my opinion, that's when it was lost. It was just a total, again, a momentum swing, a mental swing. And say what you want about Game 4, it was a bullpen game. But you blew it in Game 5. You know, I don't know. I can't remember your question. I'm so jammed up.
Do you think they were...
Do you think they were the better team?
You know, or do you think they should have won the World Series?
No, because they didn't play fundamental baseball, and they haven't done that all season. They really haven't.
So in some ways, you think they overachieved then?
In a way. Listen, they go as Judge went, regardless of the Soto season. Right, Giancarlo stepped up. He did what he needed to do, and when Judge performed, they did it. And unfortunately, Judge let him down. He did let him down. But no, they weren't fundamentally the best team out there. They weren't. He got outmanaged. They got outplayed. Listen, if you can put look back at Game 5, the only two goats that weren't on the field were Alex Verdugo, except he struck out at the end of the game. Right, he struck out, and Soto, but those guys came to play. I mean, you say what you want about Jazz, but he lets it get in his head. He gets up there in the box and he lets it get in his head. He's constantly, something's going through his head. He's all jammed up about a call that's off the plate by 2 inches. And that affects you.
Yeah.
You know, you start jawing with the umpire. So the Yankees got to clean a lot of stuff up. But they were you can't say easy pass in the playoff. I'm not listening to that horse shit. I'm not listening to that.
You get there. People say that about UConn basketball,
it's
too.
It's a joke. Like, you know, baseball is all momentum. It's all timing. And it just didn't go their way. It just didn't go their way.
I agree.
They have no one but themselves to blame. No one but themselves to blame for that.
So let's get to it, because listen, the disappointing, and I don't like the Yankees, but I don't love the Dodgers either. So like I picked the Yankees to win. So I'm not trying, you know, joyously dancing on gravestones here, but I felt that if the Dodgers lost, Dave Roberts would get fired. And I just feel like there's too much money in that team, and he had his chances, and I don't count, you know, any pandemic-y thing at all.
Yeah, I agree with you on that.
So I think he would have been gone. I think George Steinbrenner would fire Boone. I think he'd be fired. And then Matt Saroy said it earlier on our.
Well, I think he would have gone after last season.
Probably.
Yeah.
But, you know, some people said he wouldn't have made it to the next morning either way. And listen, he's a part of Yankee history. I mean, the 2003 home run is one of the top moments of the modern era in Yankee history, and he's been a relatively good guy, and he's been a pretty good manager. I mean, it's hard to manage in the bigs for as long as he has. Would you fire him?
You know, it's based on his postseason performance when it matters the most, yes. I mean, that's when it matters the most. You say it over and over again. It only matters if you make the postseason, if you win the World Series, if you're a New York Yankee. So, you know, he had his one shot that he's had so far in his managerial career to be in a World Series, and he blew it. If you point back to game one, he blew it. He blew it taking Cole out. He blew it pinch running for Gleyber with two outs. He blew it not bringing in Tim Hill. I mean, we know the story. So if you're going to base it on the expectations of the New York Yankees and their fan base and what we've all been accustomed to for the last 100-something years and 28, Nexus 28 BS, yes.
Well, okay. There. Yeah. What about Cashman?
Well, you know how I feel about Cashman. You know, it's the old guard. It's the same stuff that's been around forever. And you know, he likes to pull rabbits out of his hat here and there. And he did a good job with Jazz. But you know, the jury's still out on Jazz. You know,
I like him though.
I like him. I like his speed, and I think that's what's going to save him. His versatility, right? He showed up to play third base. He's a versatile player, and he's fast. He's fast, and he's a left-handed bat, so that will save him in New York. Plus, they own his contract, and he's cheap, so he's not going anywhere. It's just a matter as if he's going to adapt to New York and be able to perform on that stage. But, you know...
It sounds like you would fire Boone. You might not fire Cashman, but you think both are staying.
Well, Cashman knows it, right? He gets it. He's been doing it a long time.
Won in 15 years.
Right, and that's... I look at it like maybe that's what you need. You need a new perspective, new blood, and new that. But we've talked about this in the past, over the years, and it's like, do the Yankees want to go that route? Do they want to bring in the analytical nerd and all that stuff? Like, do they want to go the youth route? Do they want to switch it all up? I mean, there's a lot of cobwebs in that closet.
I mean, a lot of people think you get a Jeter and then he hires the nerds not to be the front man. I don't know. I mean, I don't even know if Jeter would take it. I mean, he's got a young family and
I don't see Jeter wanting to do that stuff.
It's too much work.
He looked uncomfortable sitting up there with A-Rod and Poppy.
Yeah, what is his deal? He seems so unfun.
I don't know. I feel like, you know what it is? I think it's an A-Rod Jeter thing. I think, you know, I think Jeter sits up there and just quietly looks and is like, is this guy for real? Like, seriously. He's taken every answer. You know, A-Rod's like, got to be every question, and A-Rod's got to answer it. You know, it's like A-Rod will answer the question. Poppy will fumble through it, talking about something that nobody even understands what he's saying. And then it comes to Jeter, if it even gets to him, and he just has no time to say anything, and he just sits there. You know, it's like, I don't know.
He just doesn't seem like he has much of a personality, though.
Yeah. I mean, that's how he wasn't when he played for him.
Believe me.
He was dry white toast.
Terrible soundbite. I mean, terrible, terrible.
You know, going interview. Back to your question about, you know, what to do, everybody wants an instant reaction, right? You just lost the World Series. You literally just choked on the biggest stage, like choked. Went out to take a piss and pissed on your leg, choked.
Jesus.
Right? So that's like, it's hard to answer those questions, right? But the report is that Boone will be back for 2025. They asked Soto about impending free agency.
He was my next person to talk
about. And the interesting thing about that is, you know, instead of, you know, brushing it off and being like, you know,
talk about it tomorrow.
He basically went Boris on everyone and was like, you know, if this is my last game, this is a hard last game, and I'm open to all.
Boris is his guy?
Yeah. So, you know, he gave the Boris answer, which, you know, partially is like, you know, look, good for him. He's been planning this forever. He turned down 440-something million from the Nats, so he knows his worth. But at the same time, it's like, bro, you know, I know the question's coming, but you can give a Bryce Harper answer. It's a clown question, bro. You know, like, we got all winter to talk about that. Nothing's going to happen until at least Thanksgiving anyways.
I think he's basically sending the message that if the Yankees want to keep him, they have to pay what
he wants to be wined and dined. And, you know, he has all right to, and that's what they're going to say. But he wants that treatment. He wants to know, is he on a plane to this place? Yeah. Is he on this? You know, he is the straw that stirs the drink. He's the new Reggie Jackson. Say what you want, man. That guy.
You really think he's that?
Oh, my God, dude. Come on. You've watched him.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody in baseball controls the strike zone like him, has power like him, can hit to all fields like him, hustles like him. I mean, if his only knock is his defense, I can't believe he got nominated for a Gold Glove. But, you know, it's not bad. It's above average. And he's 26 years old.
On a team with Judge and Stanton and
He fits perfectly on that team. He fits perfectly in that city. He can handle the stage. You know he's going to perform. The only thing that's going to stop that guy is injury.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that's going to stop that guy. And that being said, Brian, you know, he's going to want Ohtani dollars.
Well, Ohtani's $700?
$700 million, and it's like all that's deferred. So you know the Dodgers are going to make a run at him when they're going to get creative. And they're
How
going
to, can they do that? I mean, How can they do that?
Well, I looked, and I think it's something like in the next, like in 10 years or 8 years, they're committed like already $122 million
to their payroll.
And that's just guys that will never be playing for them at that time. You know,
it's very slippery. It's like government debt, right?
It's like college. It's whatever. It's a whole other conversation. Yeah, we could talk forever about that. But you know, let's get back to the matter at hand. It's they're going to have to make a run at him, and only a certain number of teams are going to be able to afford him. And they know that.
He's 26. Are we talking like 12 for $650 kind of deal?
Well, I would think nothing's north of 15 years, right? It's not going to be going north of 15 years. I think the Yankees and most of Major League Baseball are going to be thinking 10 to 12 years, where Boris is going to be pushing for 15, and he's going to want to be getting up to the $700 million range. He wants to beat Ohtani's contract. Come on, let's be honest. He doesn't own that contract. He doesn't own that. That's not hanging on his wall. This is A-Rod all over again, but more plate discipline. And I believe he was a little bit younger. No, he was probably right around the same age.
So, I mean, there's only a handful of teams that can do this.
Right.
And I mean, the Red Sox have shown no indication that they are one of those teams. So you figure the Dodgers, the Yankees.
The Giants, the Cubs.
Mm-hmm. Mets.
The Mets. I would think it'd be the Dodgers, the Giants, and the Mets would be the Yankees' biggest competition.
Dodgers, Giants,
and
Mets.
And judging what I just saw, I would think the Dodgers are right up there. Very big competition for the Yankees.
I just don't see how they can put they already. I mean, listen, if you're not getting better, you're getting worse, and I get that. But between and Freeman doesn't have much left in the tank, probably, right?
So I mean, like Freeman's like 34, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he just feels old to me.
Yeah,
you know,
he sure didn't show it.
No, he was incredible. And I just think Betts and you realize Betts and Ohtani are like $1 billion.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Soto can't lose in this deal because it's going to come down to one of three teams, I'm guessing. And it's going to be, you know, he's in a win-win situation here because for looking at the Yankees' perspective, because if they won the World Series, they win it with Soto, right? Like, he was a bigger performer than Judge, unless Judge was going to rake the next three games.
Right.
If he leaves, you know, like, they know they can't lose him. They need him, right? Even though they lost, they need him because he's a top performer. So he's going to – the Yankees know his value, and he knows his value to the Yankees. So it's not going to be no hometown discount. Maybe if he won the World Series, you give him a little break, but he's a Boris client. $442 million contract he turned down. That was like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
4 years ago, back when like they weren't handing those out.
No, but I mean, he would have, you know, gotten paid big time through his arbitration year. So it's right. The numbers aren't quite apples to apples.
But it's guaranteed money.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's... Baseball contracts are incredible.
Yeah. Well, all those contracts are incredible. Again, whatever you want to say, he's a generational player. I'm not going to doubt it. And how are you going to not market that? The guy posted every day. He missed like three games.
Yeah.
All season.
And he's entertaining to watch. In a sport that a lot of people don't think is entertaining.
I mean, when you look at the Yankees going to the next year, if you can get Soto back and you get Jazz back, I mean, those are two very interesting personalities that can keep that team up and moving. Like, you know.
How many years left on Stanton?
Stanton, I think he's through 2027, so he got two more years after this.
It's weird because I actually like him.
Yeah.
I just, he can't stay on the field.
What I love about Stanton, he's always held himself accountable and he's quietly done it. You know, and he's one of those guys where you kind of, you know, deep down you kind of almost feel bad for him because you know he's such a good player. It was like Ken Griffey Jr. later in his career. I'm not comparing Hall of Fame wise, but Ken Griffey Jr. was just riddled with injuries and he just couldn't stay on the field. Yeah. And it's unfortunate when you see such good players face that. It sucks.
And we're in the season. We're going to go into postseason mode. And hopefully we'll bring our listeners some guests.
Well, they got Torres, right? You got to figure him out. You got an option on Rizzo. So, you know, I don't know what's going on. There's probably different things in the bullpen. But the Yankees could be potentially spending a big deal of money. A lot of money.
More so
than they did in 2008 to get them a 2009 World Series.
Yeah, and there's going to be a turnover in the starting nine. I mean, there's going to be at least 2 to 3 new players in that starting nine. So we look forward to the offseason to start going with whether it's free agency, and we're looking forward to bringing some guests onto the show as we really downshift into into sort of, you know, off season, but any final thoughts on the year in general?
Well, I like the fact that, you know, the changes Major League Baseball is implementing. It's, you know, the game is obviously sped up. That's great. You know, it's almost like you get kind of spoiled and you're upset and the postseason takes a little bit longer. You know, these games did go a lot, you know, like almost an hour, some of them longer than normal, but it is postseason baseball with commercials and everything. I do like the changes Major League Baseball is making. They're looking at the check swing thing in the Arizona Fall League right now. I don't necessarily think that's going to be probably another couple more
years.
They're
going to put that on a computer type thing?
Yeah. I mean, it's that would be a good technology to bring to MLB. Manfred's been talking about that on the radio and stuff, but that's not coming next year. But I like the changes MLB's making to speed up the game. And if you've watched the season this year, there's a lot of great young talent, and it's only going to get better. And if you watch the postseason, right? If you watch the postseason baseball, you know, if anybody can watch that and think baseball's not exciting, you know, you don't have a pulse. I mean, if you don't like the sport, I get it. But say you went to like a watch party or something at somebody's house and you watch some of this postseason baseball and you can't get excited, then sorry for you.
Yeah, you're not a fan. My parents are in their 80s. They were riveted by it. I mean, it's kind of funny. They look forward to the games. It's great. Well, it's been a good season, John. It's just been really fun to get. I mean, by the time we get to next season, we might be at 200. We got one of these milestone episodes. Yeah. We got to do something fun.
Yeah, it's fun talking baseball. I love the sport. I mean, and regardless of what happens, you know, it's fun to watch. I mean, I think someone asked me the other day. I was at like something at college parents' weekend, and we were hanging out with people, and a lot of people from the New York area at Fairfield University. And they're like talking about being a Yankees fan. They're like, how many games do you watch? I'm like, honestly, I think I probably only missed like watching full, maybe like 20 games the whole season.
Jeez.
And that's like, you know, because I'm out doing stuff, family stuff or whatever. Weekend games are tough, day games here and there. But, you know.
That's hardcore.
It's tough, you know, as a fan, you know, you invest a lot, you know, regardless of, you know, I'm not making the money, but I am, you know, in an indirect way, I am paying part of it. So it's tough as a fan to watch your team, you know, fail on a big stage. It's tough. And, you know, say what you want. Aaron Judge has, you know, got 7 more years of Judge, but 15 years since the Yankees were in the World Series. It doesn't come around all day.
No. I mean, that's the thing, is you can't take it for granted.
Exactly.
Red Sox fans learn that all too well. John Senecal, Brian Shackman, you've been listening and watching Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports.
T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.